Hello, hello, hello. It's the 19th of April. We just finished up bonds. Boring, stodgy bond. All right, folks. Do you like to gamble?
Yeah.
Yeah? Where's Wesley? He disappeared. If you like to gamble, you're in the right place. Because we're going to learn about stocks. Yeah, lost wages. You can just imagine. Have you been to Las Vegas?
Never.
Never?
Never.
I've been there a couple times. I like the lights. That's it. I never pulled the slot machine myself.
Like
what?
You like the show over there?
No, I just like the lights. I just look at all the lights. But can you imagine the brokers from New York going to Las Vegas and saying, you know, we got to get a piece of this action. Right?
Well, they might keep this.
They did what?
They rigged Las Vegas and they made
the movie.
They got a movie about it.
The movie
21. I don't know. Like and they got thrown in jail.
They got caught, but they made a movie about it.
Okay. What? Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't get one?
Well, you think mass inclined people will realize that eventually the casinos won't be winning. In the short term, you might win, but in the long term, you might lose.
There you go.
Well, that's what some people do. And they go there, they figure, oh, you know, I'll take a couple $100 and just lose it. It's for, you know, that's for fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that could be considered fun, but I don't think losing money is fun. I'll tell you, I didn't enjoy 2000 to 2002, nor did I enjoy 2000 to 2008 to 2009. But you're going to learn how your broker wants you to, I mean, speculate in options. Here's a joke that you probably won't understand, but by the end, by Tuesday, you should figure it out. It's actually, I got it from Warren Buffett, of all people. Oh, we forgot to look at our, we're back up again. We were down to about 5%, but hey, Apple's come back. Back over 600. Oh no, 596. Oh, it's down 11, it was over 600. We're back, oh, we were just at 7%, just about a quarter, half an hour ago. Still not bad. 7% in 3 months. You guys are good. Okay. At a very exclusive party, a high-class, finely clad woman slinked up to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company and said, I will do anything. Anything you want. The CEO flatly responded, reprice my options. Now, you don't understand the joke. But you will. You will. What? Reprice my options. Reprice my options. In other words, she wants him to. And she says, like, sure, you want to do anything? Reprice my options. In other words, wait, you don't understand it yet, but you will when you understand how options work. So that's the joke. I don't know. It's not funny. You want another joke? Did I tell you about Lena and Ollie in here yet? I didn't tell you about Lena and Ollie?
At least one.
At least one. Did you hear? He was talking to his friend Sven. These are Midwestern jokes. And Sven is saying to Oli, you know, Oli, you gotta fix the blinds on your bedroom window. The whole neighborhood could see you and Lena going at it all night last night. And Oli said, ah, you're crazy with the heat. I was out of town last night. He was out of town. Couldn't have been him. Okay. So anyway. Okay. Where's my? All right. So let's get started with options. First of all, what are they called? They're not really called options. They're a type of derivative, right? But the technical term is an option contract. So what people do is they say, this is an option contract, or these are options contracts. Try saying that three times fast. It's not easy. So we're going to mostly use the term option. But the real name is options contract. Option contract. It's a security that gives the holder the right to buy or sell a certain amount of an underlying financial asset at a specified price for a specified period of time. You mean you don't actually buy or sell the asset? No. You have the option, the right, to do so. You don't have to do it. It's an option. That's why it's called an option. But Why? I don't understand. If you want the asset, why don't you just buy it later? There are options on all types of assets. we're just going to talk about stock options, but they work similar in many different types of assets. We'll just talk about stock options, but you realize that these things can be for many different assets. They are not investments. Do you remember the term? Remember the very first slide? The definition of investment? Some type of resource, some type of vehicle for which we put money into with the expectation, reasonable expectation that we're going to get income, cash flows and rent, dividends, interest, or we're going to get capital gains, it's going to go up in value, or both, right? These things do not apply. They don't fit that definition. They just don't fit. So we usually use the term speculations, which is a fancy way of saying gambling. They're a form of derivatives, meaning they derive their value from something else. They are contracts. There are two parties involved. The buyer of the option and the seller of the option. And this is what makes these things so difficult, because you have to look at both sides of the contract. Plus, you then turn them around, and there's a mirror image of one another. So on the back of this handout, which I should have passed out also, is a worksheet, or I don't know what you want to call it, that I put together that hopefully will help you as we go along. Of course, it's on the website, so pass these out that way. The buyer of the option contract gets the right to buy or sell the financial asset at a given price for a given period of time. The seller of the option must buy... Questions? Oh, I should have waited until you guys get these things. Everybody got one? Okay. So the buyer of the option must... So look, this is the sheet I was telling you about, this one right here. See that thing right there. Don't try to do the calculations yet. Okay, stay away from the calculations. Look at the this thing, right, Gloria? Look at that. Look at that. That's what you want to look at. That part right there. Okay, don't try to do these calculations. Tuesday, we'll do those Tuesday. Okay. And by the way, these calculations are on the Series 7. One of the things that did you last? Yeah, how'd you do on those? Yeah, I know. These are the things that'll kill you, because you have to pass every segment, and you got to pass the options. And people sort of blow it off, and then they just get their legs cut off from under them. But it's not, you know, I mean, once you figure it out, it's not that hard, but it's just tricky. It's like, yeah, has anybody ever tried to do their own beard, you guys? Or cut your own hair, ladies,
yeah,
in the mirror? What happens?
Never
done that. Yeah, right. Ding! Ouch! You know, it's the same way with options.
Off balance.
The buyer of the option contract gets the right to buy or sell the financial asset at a given price for a given period of time. The seller must buy or sell the asset according to the terms of the contract. Options contracts are part of a class of securities called derivatives. Derivatives are securities, and there are many types of derivatives, folks. These are the things that Warren Buffett famously called weapons of mass financial destruction. Derivatives are securities that derive their value from the price behavior of an underlying real or financial asset. Real meaning a hard asset, oil, corn, and the like. And they are more, we'll discuss those in more detail when we get next week to futures. Options contracts have no voting rights, they receive no dividends, no interest, and they eventually, poof, expire. They disappear. Their value comes from the fact that they allow the holder of the option to participate in the price behavior of the underlying asset with a much lower capital outlay. You've heard the term leverage?
Yeah,
we're going to come back to it again. By the way, options contracts are usually just referred to as options because it's difficult to say options contracts three times fast. Options allow an investor to leverage their outlay of capital. There's that word again. The ability to obtain a given equity position at a reduced capital investment, thereby magnifying returns
and losses.
With options, you can make the same amount of money from a stock or other security as if you had bought it for full price, but only pay a tenth or a twentieth. Whoa, okay. Sounds too good to be true, right? Right. It is too good to be true. Much of the time, you lose your entire outlet because they have a time limit. And they expire. And if they expire before they're worth anything, what happens to your money? Poof, it disappears. So how could something that has a better than 50% chance of becoming worthless in 3 or 6 or 9 months be considered an investment?
You come up with a good lie to sell it.
To sell it to somebody else after you bought it. The greater fool theory. Well, good luck. Okay, what's the rationale? Instead of buying a stock, you buy an option to buy a stock.
Eh?
Or an option to sell the stock instead of selling it. If the stock goes up, let's say you bought an option to buy. If the stock goes up, your option will go up almost always much, much, much faster than the stock price. And you can sell the option for a handsome profit. There's only one catch. The option expires in 3, 6, 9 months. You know, it depends. 1, 4 months, they're all different expiration dates. If the stock does not go up, the option becomes worthless. It expires. Most options expire worthless. Did I say that already?
Do these get advertised heavily in the Wall Street Journal?
Well, not average, but yes, in that you'll see brokers advertising, hey, we've got the best options trading platform and use our patented foolproof system. Yeah. There are some scenarios, folks, where options can be worthwhile. In my humble opinion, they are few and far between, and their worth is fairly dubious. But then that's my opinion. The next person who teaches this class might say, oh, you don't understand. I'm sitting in my bed, in my bathroom, playing and making money off of pools that are betting the wrong way. So, you know, it's up to you. Let's see an example. Let's say the stock is currently selling for $20. So we have a stock. We don't know what it is. You know, butterfly.com or something like that. It's selling for $20. Now, let's say it goes up to 30. How much money did you make? Not bad, right? That's a 50% return on your investment, right? You made $10 on a $20 investment. That's 0.5 or 50%. Pat yourself on the back, right? Well, let's see if we can juice our returns here. Let's see if we can do something a little better. Instead of buying the stock, you purchase an option to purchase the stock. You don't purchase the stock. You bought a contract. You bought an option to buy the stock at
$20. It sounds like you're buying a license.
I don't know if I'd use the word license, but if you want to use the word license, you're buying the right.
See? Sounds like a license.
Okay, use the word license. But you're buying the right, the ability. You're buying the ability, which I guess is a license. I can drive. Here's my license. You're buying the ability to buy the stock at 20. But how much does it cost? $1. So you put in how much? For the lowly price of just $1, folks, you bought that option. Now, what happens? If the stock goes up to 30, what's going to happen to your option? It's going to go up to around 11. It's going to track the price of the stock. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Nod your head yes or go. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Pat. Okay. Did you buy the stock? $20, it goes up to 30, you made $10. But if you bought the option and the stock price goes up to 30, the option will go up to about 11. It depends, you know, it depends on the market price. It'll go up and down. But it'll track, it'll follow, siguiente, it'll follow the stock. Does that make sense? Okay, so think about it, folks. You've earned $10 again, but how much money did you put up? Only a buck. So that's 10.0 or 1,000% return on your money. And so that's why you'll see these advertisements. I made 1,000% on my option. Are you with me? Okay. That's leverage in action. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But what if the stock stays at 20 bucks? What happens or goes down? What's going to happen to your option? Poof.
Expires.
Would you buy a stock for 20 bucks that was selling for 17?
No.
No, you go out and buy it at 17. So your option will become zero very quickly. Takes a day. So for every one that goes up 1,000%, all the rest of them went down 100%. Your option expires worthless 3, 6, 9 months. And here's the way the world works. Of course, after your option expires, the stock price zooms to 40 bucks. That's the way the world works. Have you noticed that? You were so sure that the stock was going to hit the big time, and you were absolutely right. But because you bought the option that expired, instead of buying the stock, you bought the option disappeared, the stock's still doing well. In fact, they're doing great. That's what it's called. It's called, that's exactly the word. I don't know where you got that, but you got it. It's called the strike price, or sometimes called the exercise price. That price remains fixed for the life of the option. It's a contract. You shook hands with somebody electronically. But because you bought the option that expired, you lost the ability to share in the success of the stock. Are you with me?
Don't buy the contract.
My advice. My sentiments exactly. But, so, see, this is my advice. Forget about the options. Buy the stock. But this is an introduction to investments class. And so you need to understand options, if only to be able to tell your friends, stay away. Because you're almost guaranteed to lose money. Just like going to Vegas. You're almost guaranteed to lose money.
Yeah, you see something like this.
The normal ones, sometimes less. But if you were going to buy the stock, you pay your stock trade $7 a trade, or I think I heard that or looked at Schwab went down to $10 a trade, which is damn. I trust Schwab. I don't trust the others. Well, no. If they're really large blocks of shares, then they tack on additionals. But you know, for 100 shares, 50 shares, 200 shares, it's the normal fee. But if you're buying large blocks of shares, then there's usually. I'm sorry?
That would be a normal fee.
Yeah. We'll discuss brokerage firms in a couple of weeks. But yeah, that's the normal fee these days. But as we saw, it's not the only fee if you go with e-trash or Snot Trade. You might wind up paying more because they're routing it to certain market makers, certain dealers.
The one that deals with the baby.
That's e-trash, right? The baby? Yeah. So, I think I've said this before. Instruction about syphilis is not instruction to go get syphilis. You understand? We're not telling you to go out there and do this. It was too late to tell Al Capone, right? Okay, you got to go too, huh? You got a meeting. Him too, probably, huh? Okay. Okay, so as I said, chapter 11 is basically the end of the course, right? But now we've got, the end of the course for prudent investors. Now we have to learn about the not-so-prudent, if only to understand why we stay away from them. And then if you do start buying and selling, in fact, I have an interview of one of my friends who he stopped. But he happened to walk in. I was giving my lecture about options for the online class. I sit in front of my computer and talk. And he started listening to me and started scowling at me like, what are you bad-mouthing options for? So I interviewed him about options. And then he finally stopped. All right, so here we go. Here we go, folks. We're ready to start looking at these things. And the first time you look at them, they turn your head around. a lot. I remember looking at that and just going, this looks like gambling. And I'm talking to the president of the small company I used to work for as a computer teacher. He goes, they are gambling. Stay away from them. I said, yes, Frank. His name is Frank. So what we're going to do is we're going to see that it's through the looking glass. There's a mirror here. And so
I read the book, and it says that the stock, it has a maturity, right? And
no, the stock has a maturity? No.
Like when you buy it, you have to buy it at the maturity date or it's worthless, unless they also have that it's an American option and a European option. The American option, it is worthless, and under the European option, you can still buy it.
Okay, you're getting a little ahead of ourselves. But you're right, there are American options, and there are European options, and there are Jamaican options, and there are all these different styles. There are different styles. But we will do that on Tuesday. We'll get to that on Tuesday. But right now, all you have to understand is the basics, and they're tricky enough. Okay, because as I said, and how I tried to show this, it doesn't look like a mirror, but this is supposed to be a mirror of sorts. All right? The call option. The call option is the one that when people talk about options, they're usually talking about call options. Unless they specifically say put. When they say, I bought an option on IBM, or I bought an option on Apple, they usually mean a call option. The call option is a negotiable instrument, the contract, the derivative, that gives the buyer the option, the right to buy the underlying security at a stated price within a stated period of time. This example is a call. We can call it away from the seller at $20. The put option is the other coin. It's an option. But instead of an option to buy a stock, it's an option to put a stock. Do you remember the guys in the and the gals in the pits calling the stock away? Mere stock! And when we call bonds away, and when we put something to somebody, we're selling it to them. Are you with me? We're putting it to them. So the put option is the contract, the negotiable instrument, the derivative, the option, that gives the buyer of the option the right to sell the underlying security at a stated price within a stated period of time.
So,
exactly. Call option buyers are bullish. Put option buyers are bearish. Call option buyers want the price to go up. Put option buyers want the price to go down. Where did the terms call and put come from? And how do I remember which is which? That's why you're students. The term call comes from the idea that when you buy a call option, you get the right to call the stock away. Come here, stock! From the seller, from the other person that you shook hands with. The term put comes from the idea that when you buy a put option, you get the right to put the stock to the seller of the option. A call allows you to call it away from, buy it from somebody. The put allows you to put it to them. Let's look at each in detail. Okay, the two parties of the call option. The buyer of the call option, I'm going to try to build this as we go along, so let me make sure I got mine in up there. The caller of the buyer of the call option, the buyer, they're the person who will buy it. They buy the option, and then they have the right to buy the stock. They don't have to do it. It's an option, right? They have the ability. I erased it. They have the license. They have the ability, the right. They buy the right to call the stock away from the call seller. They don't have to exercise the right, and in truth, most options expire worthless. Because if the stock here went down, would they bother to buy something for $20 that they could buy for $17? You wouldn't do that. Unless you were stupid, you could do it. And the person would say thank you, right? Three stooges, right. The seller, now here's the other side. We don't often think about the other side. But there's somebody else on the other side called the seller also called the writer, also called the maker, just to make sure that it's as confusing as possible. So we have three different names for this person on the other side of the contract. The call option seller, the call option writer, and the call option maker. And this person is the person who will be sold the stock. They have agreed. They've shook hands with the call option buyer. And they say that no matter what happens, I will buy that stock away from you at $20. They are legally bound to sell the stock. Now, why would they do that? Why would somebody enter into this contract? They get the buck. And no matter what happens, they get to keep that dollar. So you, as the call option buyer, plunk down the buck. The call option seller pockets the dollar. It's a contract. Both sides are supposed to get something out of the deal. Are you with me? Starting to see how it's working? Let's take a look at what we're hoping for. As Matt pointed out, the call option buyer is hoping that the price of the stock goes up. He's bullish. Right, so let's write that word down there. And you know what that word means. Bullish. If the option buyer has a call option to buy at 20, stock goes to 30, whoopee. You can buy a $30 stock for $20. Because the call option seller said they would do so. The call option seller is hoping that the price goes down, so they're bearish, or at the very least neutral, or sometimes called a chicken, right? If it stays the same, they win. Sure, I'll sell it to you for 20. I'll sell it to anybody for 20. If it goes down, all the better. So the call option seller is hoping that the price of the stock will go down or stay the same. They're bearish or neutral or chicken. If the stock stays around 20 or goes down, the call option buyer would not want to exercise the option because that means they'd be spending more for the price of the stock than they can get it in the marketplace. And no matter what happens, the call option seller gets to keep the price of the option. It's actually called the premium, but let's write the word price. They get to keep the price of the option no matter what happens. In fact, that's their limit of what they can make. Yes, Matt?
What if the options contract normally costs a dollar? It seems like natural fluctuation.
No, I'm just using a buck, but okay, they can be 10, 20, 25 cents.
It's like an option deal. For a dollar gamble, you could make substantial profit. But it's not normally going to be a dollar.
It depends. Maybe. Maybe it's a buck. Maybe it's 25 cents. Maybe I'm going to go down to 5 cents.
Well, they probably know a lot more than you do anyways. So.
Oh, yeah. They know. So all the people pulling those one-armed bandits know a whole lot more than me, too. I figured that one out. Yeah. All those people buying lottery tickets, they're really smart. They're the ones that they know a whole lot more than I do. Okay, now here's a graphic, okay?
They're contributing to the American grid.
That's right. They're voluntary tax on stupid people. That's the lottery. Go right ahead. Pay your dollar.
I want to keep the American dream.
Yeah. We got two people here. And you notice I don't use graphics that much, so I don't know. It helps. Ed and Ted, okay? Wow. Flynn. And we can have people in here, too. So who's bullish? Who's bullish? Anybody?
Bullish. Sure.
All right. Ricardo's bullish. Who's bearish?
Yeah.
Matt. Okay, here you go. The call option buyer wants the price of the underlying stock to go up. He is bullish. No matter what happens to the price of the stock, he can buy it from, call it away from the call option, sell it for $20. So, Ricardo, you want to read yours?
Call option buyer, I'm bullish. I pay a premium for the option. Have the right to call away the stock from the call option seller. I want the price of the stock to go up. If it does, I can make a lot of money. If it does not, I lose the premium, I pay.
So, you see, he doesn't buy the stock. He buys the option for a dollar. That gives him the right to buy the stock for $20, but he doesn't have to take it. And if the stock goes up, damn, he's going to make a lot of money. Because he could turn around and sell the option before it expires, or he could say, seller, give me the shares. Okay, so Matt, let's hear what you've got to say. You're the other side of the coin.
I'm bearish or neutral. I receive a premium for the option, the price of the option. I must deliver the stock to the call buyer if he or she calls the stock away from me. I want the price of the stock to go down or stay the same. If it does, I get to keep the call option premium. I don't make a lot of money, but I could lose a lot of money if I make it.
What? You don't make a lot of money, but you could lose a lot of money if you're what?
Naked.
Oh, my goodness. You didn't think investing could be real sexy, did you? So, wait a minute. What's the limit of how much money he can make?
The dollar.
The dollar. But what happens if the price goes up to $30? What has he got to do? He's got to sell this stock at $20 that's selling for $30. So he's got to go out and buy the stock at $30 and then turn around and sell it at $20. Do you understand? Do you understand? Because he said he shook hands with the option. He shook hands with Ricardo.
It says I don't necessarily have the stock that sold the option.
Ah! So how could he be not naked? How could he be covered?
I want to own the stock before I get
it. Exactly. He can cover himself by owning the shares. You see that?
So then you just lose potential profit, not actual profit.
All right. So the stock price goes up to 30. What does Ricardo do?
Ooh.
Yeah. And you say, gimme, dame.
What?
So you're the options. You can say, gimme that stock.
Gimme that stock.
And so you see what happens? He now transfers the 100 shares, and he didn't lose big time. What did he lose? He bought the stock at, say, $10, 2 years ago or something like that. It's now selling at $20. He writes the option. That's what it's called. The option seller writes the option. He makes $10, right, plus whatever you bought it for. And so now he is going to have that stock called away from him. Well, if he's naked or uncovered, that means he's got to go out and buy it at $30 and sell it at $20. But if he has the 100, if he has the shares, in this case 100 shares, it's always 100 shares, he takes the 100 shares and he delivers them to Ricardo. Are you with me? Understand that? That's called a covered call. A covered call. If you're naked, you could really lose a lot of money. But what did Matt lose? I think he said the word. I think he lost opportunity, didn't he? Because he could, if he hadn't written the option, if he hadn't have been the seller on the option, he could turn around and sell the stock for $30. Oh well, that was the chance you took. But is it typical for a stock to jump from 20 to 30 in 3 months or 6 months? No, it doesn't happen that often, right? So it's not a big deal. If and when I ever do options, which I probably never do, it'll be as the seller. It'll be as the writer. Yes?
Was this the length depend on the seller?
The length?
Yeah.
It's part of the contract. When you look it up, when you look up the option, you say, I want a September contract. And that means in September, it'll expire. They expire on the third Friday of every month. Or you say, I want one in June. Obviously, you have less time for things to go wrong. If you get one for December, there's more time for things to go wrong.
And does the price of the option depend on the length or not?
You got it. It's called the time premium. The longer, in fact, let's take a look at a couple. Exactly. You're going to pay more for a longer contract out there. So what company do you want to look at? Let's just look at Apple. Because the options for Apple are going to be, see right here. On the left-hand side, you see it says?
Options.
It's called the options chain. And you see that, these are all, we always talk about out of the money and in the money. Look at all these options. Whoa, look at all these options. And what price is it at?
A lot of people think it's going to go up or down.
Wait a minute, what is going on here? Where are the, it should be at 600. Oh, here it is. You see, you can't really tell. Oh, yeah, it looks better on there. On my screen, I can barely tell. But yeah, I wish Yahoo would use some shading that's a little bit. On some screens, you can tell. You see these are all yellow? And you see these are all white? Okay, that's, we'll talk about that more on Tuesday, why that is. But the price is between $595 and $600, and for the stock. Look at the price for, this is May or April. What is this? This is a bad one to use. April, it's April. Let's use Procter & Gamble. Let's use something more stable. Options. That's better. Okay. Procter & Gamble selling for between $65 and $67.50, and that's why there's yellow over here and white over here. And look, the April, they're going to expire tomorrow. Is that the third Friday? Yeah, tomorrow's the third Friday of April.
Saturday after every third Friday?
Third Friday. So somebody thinks that there's one day left for Procter & Gamble to go over $67.50 because they're spending 4 cents, 4 whole cents, and hoping that Procter & Gamble jumps over $67.50 and then they'll be able to exercise the option. Are you with me? Now, if we go out, that's April, it's one day. If we go out to, say, October, we're going to see that price jump substantially to $1.78 because there's another 6 months to go, 5-6 months. So there's plenty more time in the option buyers' eyes to for the stock to go over 60. What?
What's the stock right
now? Like 66 or something. It's been bouncing around between 62 and 66.
It's making money. It not only needs to surpass the 67.50, it also needs to go up over the cost of your option.
Bingo! It's called the break-even point. We'll learn more Tuesday. Matt's ahead of us here. Matt's ahead of us. That's okay. No problem. Now, what's going on when we do the opposite? When we have a put? Well, it's like a mirror. Everything goes in the other direction. Oops, wrong color. The put, we want the price to go down. The put option buyer is the one who will sell. So this is an option to buy, and this is an option to sell. Now, it's confusing because you buy the put option, but the option is to sell the stock. The put option of the contract is the put option buyer is the person who will do the putting to. They buy the right to put the stock to, sell the stock to the put option buyer. They don't have to exercise this right. Did I mention that most options expire worthless? I think I did. The put option seller, also called this put option maker and the put option writer, makes things more confusing, is the person who is going to have to buy the stock. If the put option buyer says, I'm going to sell you this stock, they agreed to that with the handshake. They're legally bound to buy the stock from the put option buyer, and in return, they get the buck. They get the dollar from the put option buyer. So again, let's discuss what they're after. The put option buyer is hoping that the price will go down. The put option buyer is bearish because they want the stock price to go down so they can put it to you at a higher price. If the option buyer has an option to sell at 10 and the price drops, I'm sorry, option to sell at 20 and the price drops to 10, they can sell that stock at $20 that's currently on the market for 10 bucks. So they can run out, buy it for $10, sell it for 20. What a deal. Are you with me?
That's the bearish guy.
He's the bearish. When he did the call option, he's hoping the price goes up. But if he buys the put option, he's hoping the price goes down. What is the put option seller hoping for? The put option seller is hoping that the price will go up, so the put option buyer is bullish or at least neutral. Did I spell neutral right? N-E-U, right? Or is it N-U-E? Or at least not very bearish. If the price stays around 20 bucks or goes up, is the buyer going to go ahead and exercise them? No, they could sell the stock for 22. Why would they sell a stock for 20 that's selling currently for 22 or 23? So they would allow the option to poof, expire. In either event, doesn't matter what happens, the put option seller, the put option writer, the put option maker, is allowed to keep the dollar. Okay. Here's the all-purpose gentleman here.
So the put option maker keeps the dollar, right?
That's always.
That's the one who at least gets something.
That's right.
Versus losing
everything. Right. The put option seller, the put option writer, the put option maker always gets something. Whereas the buyer can get a lot, but can lose everything. Yeah. So the put option buyers wants the price of the underlying stock to go down. So who's bearish? Who's my bear in here? Nobody? Nobody's bearish? Okay, Herman's bearish. He thinks the stock's going to go down. What stock is it? Flim Flam Incorporated? He thinks it's going down. Who's bullish? Gloria, you bullish? Okay, all right, she'll be bored. Okay, so you want to read? You're the put option buyer, Herman. Tell me about yourself.
I'm bearish. I pay a premium for the options, the price of the option. I have the right to put the stock to the put option seller. I want the price of the stock to go down. If it does, I can make a lot of money. If it does not, I lose the premium I pay.
Do you see? So the only thing he's out is the buck. But if the price goes down, if it goes down a lot, he can make a lot of money. Now, Gloria.
Again, because he's the seller, right?
He will sell the stock, but he's the put option buyer. That's where it's confusing, right? You're buying the option to sell. Over here, you're buying the option to buy. And that's why these are the toughest questions on the Series 7. They're just because, you know, if you just move the wrong way, you're going to stab yourself in the cheek. You know, trying to shoot, ow! And you're looking in the mirror. Gloria, she's the put option seller.
I'm bullish or neutral. I receive a premium for the option. I must purchase just from the put buyer if he or she puts the stock to me. I want the price of the stock to go up and stay the same. If it does, I get to keep the put option premium. I don't make a lot of money, but I could lose a lot of money if I am naked.
So all she can make is the dollar, right? But what could she lose? If the stock price plummets, she can lose a lot of money. Now, how can she cover herself? How can she be covered? If she has enough money to buy the stock, she's covered. Or another way to cover yourself is to have a put option on the same stock. Won't your broker love you? Because not only did you write an option contract, you also bought an option contract. Yeah. Dumb. But your broker's going to love you because all the time, what are you generating? Commissions. Right. And you see, that's why the brokers made up these things, because they went to Vegas and they said, we got to get a piece of this action. We got to get people hooked on gambling. Stocks, I mean options. I mean, we got to get investing and speculating in options. I know. I apologize, folks. I apologize on behalf of my industry because it's a scam. Time for questions on options. Options are confusing, aren't they?
Ethical scam.
What?
Ethical scam.
What's the, wait a minute, ethical scam? That's, you know, jumbo shrimp. That doesn't make any sense. Permanent trend, straight curve. That's the thing, is an ethical scam. What
you just said, is, hey, we got to figure out a way to get the money from the people.
But that doesn't mean it's right. That's all right. You know, nobody put a gun to their head.
Not a crime.
You're right, it's not. It should be. Options are confusing, aren't they? Yeah, in fact, they're one of the hardest parts of the Series 7 stockbroker exam. The next hardest option, shorting and margining, next week, after Tuesday. Options sound like, by the way, I'm not going to ask you to do these problems on the exam, okay? I'm not going to ask you, because thank you. You got enough problems at the end of the semester, right, with the other classes? I like having the ability to just calm down at the end of the semester, because we've done the heavy work. And so for us, we kind of just, oh, we look at things and we go, isn't that nice we don't touch these? And I don't ask you to do them. I will do them together in class, but I don't ask you to do them. Options sound like gambling, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Options are a form of gambling, folks. They're a what we call a zero-sum game. Do you understand what a zero-sum game is?
Zero.
Somebody wins, somebody loses. See, stocks are not that way, folks. Everybody can win. The pie can get larger. More and more people can get jobs. More and more people can get new products and new services. You understand?
You're making risky stocks, you know, from Wall Street sound tame.
Well, I wouldn't use the word tame. I mean,
more safe in comparison.
But do you understand why we're doing this? You understand why we're doing this, right? We might say that capitalism is the worst form of distributing goods and services to the citizens of an economy, except for all the others, right? what's going on in Cuba? How are you selling, how many cigars are you selling, Mr. Castro? How about all that, what are you going to do with all this sugar cane? You know, you know, capitalism ain't perfect. But we can all win. It doesn't mean we're all going to win. But we can all win. Whereas options, somebody wins, somebody loses. It's that simple. And the brokers are taking their commission all the time. A family acquaintance once called me, "Hey Frank, I hear you can make a lot of money investing in options." I said, wait a minute. Yes, you can make a lot of money, and you can also lose a lot of money. You can't invest in options. You can speculate in options, sure. If you, as long as you realize what you're doing, go right ahead, good luck. But you can't invest in something that has a 60% chance of being worthless in 2 months, 3 months, a day. It's not investing. What do you think that person buying the option for 4 cents is going to lose? What do you think the percentage, the chances of losing that money next tomorrow? He's going to buy it today. What do you think it's going to be worth tomorrow? Zero. I'd say it's better than 90%. Unless we have a really big up day tomorrow on the stock market and Procter & Gamble goes up a lot, that person who bought it for 4 cents is basically flushing their money down the toilet. But that's my opinion. I'm not putting a gun to their head. Nobody's putting a gun to their head. Are you with me? Nod your head yes or go. I wish this would go away. All right, so you don't have to take my word for it. Have I told you about optionetics? No, folks? Well, here you are, folks. Optionetics, 2-day seminar. 2 days. Just hang on a minute. Wait till you hear what you're going to get. I want to learn optionetics trading strategies and learn how to become a successful options trader. I will receive 2 days of education, the options trading library, 6 DVDs, trading essentials class, audio online, and a special 10B only benefit for you today, only $4,495 plus shipping and handling. But if you sign up today, we will waive the shipping and handling and only charge you $3,995. Now, I tell all you folks, have something in your garage or maybe in your basement that's worth at least $3,000 or $4,000 that you paid for years ago and you're not using. And you're going to make that much back in at least 1 month, folks. So don't worry. Sit on the back. We got people in the back. They'll take your credit card. Don't worry about using up your credit card first because you're going to pay that credit card off in 1 day. 1 day. Well, maybe a week. But at the end of the month, you will be able to pay all your debts.
Sounds too good to be true.
You can see people get up and walk to the back and sign up. I know, it's scary, isn't it? None of my students, right? You think I could make a lot of money if I didn't have any ethics?
Yeah, I could probably do.
Damn. But look, they're coming to San Diego. May 20th, 21st.
You could be like Danny DeVito in that movie, Ruthless.
Ruthless?
Ruthless people.
Where's Ruth? What I did I tell you what I do with these people? They're not the only ones. But by the way, you can see these testimonials. You see upcoming class
liars.
When you see testimonials, you know it's pretty much a scam. But they usually have a 2-hour free seminar, which is basically what you just saw me doing for 2 hours, berating you to sign up for the 2-day seminar. And it's usually, there's one in usually Missing Valley and one in North County, No County.
Wouldn't it be more believable if you had photographs of celebrities?
So I'll take my bike, because I go out riding on Sundays, usually about 40 miles, and I got my sign that says, options are gambling. So I make my route so that I wind up about 30, 40 minutes before it's usually 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'll just get there and camp myself out front and hold up the sign that says options are gambling as people are driving in. I smile and wave at them. And sometimes they come up and they go, did you go with these people? Are you out of your mind? You're crazy. What are you doing here? I thought I'd teach this. So I figure I just part of the public service, you know. This is part of my salary from Southwestern. I'm trying to protect the public. Because the SEC is supposed to shut these people down, do they?
No.
What they do is they send them a letter saying cease and desist. Because you're not allowed to make these claims. You're not allowed to make these claims. But people do. Where are the testimonials?
Inside.
What? And so they'll send them a cease and desist order, and then they just ignore it. Oh, no, where is it?
You stand to make a lot of money, and the fine isn't very big.
Right.
Fine if you make any money.
And then they finally shut them down. But then they just start up a new one. And these aren't the only ones. Here. Read more testimonials. Here we go. The company is wonderful and the best in the world. The instructors really want you to gain knowledge greater than 150%. 300% return on income. Return on the investment. Iron Condor. Best trade ever. 1,000%. Mark S. of Golden Beach. Where's QLD? GC. But you know, they don't tell you about the other 30 times when it became zero. They don't mention that. This is, by the way, illegal. And there was a guy, Wade Cook. You can type wadecook.com, and he'll say, sorry, we're out of business now. It took the SEC almost 20 years to knock that guy down. And they just picked up and started another company. Okay, so what do you think?
What part was that on the web conference?
Or my web?
Yeah, the Wonder Professor.
Yeah, it's at wonderprofessor.com.
Right there.
Under chapter 15 on options.
Optionetics?
No. Optionetics, 2-day seminar.
Wait, is that a true seminar? Or?
Yeah!
Oh, I thought it was like that.
No! You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? Not the only ones, folks. Wise trades, stock market traders, some of the.
I guess there's a profit to be found or something.
What they're doing is not legal. You see, we have this little impediment to authority called the First Amendment. And normally, whatever you want to say, you have a right to say it. Okay? However, Congress has carved out pieces of speech which are what we call regulated. And you can't say these things without being first licensed. And then even if you're licensed, you can't say certain things. As a broker, I can't tell you I'm going to guarantee you a 10% return on investment. If I did, I could lose my license. I can tell you it is reasonable for prudent investors over the long term from stocks, if they do their research, to reasonably expect 8, 9, 10% over the long term. I can tell you some stocks have done better. That I can say. But if I said, I'm going to guarantee you 10% return on your investment, I could lose my license. So what these people are saying, when they say 300% return, 3,000% return, they're not the only ones. I saw you, remember at the beginning of the semester, that guy who's turned $33,000 into $7 million in 2 years, 25% a month? Hey, you're not allowed to do it.
If options are usually worthless, why do people do it?
Why do people go buy lottery tickets? Why do people go to the casinos?
They go down?
You pays your money, you take your chances, bend over, here it comes again. You're virtually guaranteed to lose. Do you understand why we teach people about syphilis? We don't teach them about syphilis so they'll go out and get it. We teach them about syphilis so they can protect themselves. And that's why we're learning about options. And I want you to be able to protect your family and friends and those you love. Because people get desperate. They want to believe. They want to believe. I mean, look what happened in 2005 with real estate. You know, I'm always coming across people who are saying, oh, we're still underwater. You making your payments? Yeah, but I'm thinking of walking away from the house. They bought it for $330. It's now worth $150. It's, you know, we're not rational. Jaime, you got something to say?
Yeah, the people who are involved with Medicare fraud are making big money, in the millions.
Yeah.
They jump that on TV.
Yeah, so it must be true. But no, you're right. I hope so. Speaking of fraud, I sometimes really get angry when I see students who are sort of just showing up every once in a while, and then by the end of the semester they're gone, and I read about these reports of students just taking their financial aid and then half-heartedly going to school but not really going to school, and then just, you know, basically disappearing. And
do
so
they need to pay it or
no? You know, I don't know what happens. Anybody know? And then they try to take it back?
Yes. There are some students who get financial aid and they sign up for classes, but they drop the classes.
Or they just stop coming to class.
No, they drop the classes.
They drop the classes.
And, you know, they avoid either they get the W's or they don't get the W's, but they drop them a certain time.
But eventually you're going to be cut off.
And there are people who've been doing that for like 7 years here at Southwestern College.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway.
So,
when we come back on Tuesday, so you got plenty to, no football this weekend, no baseball, no basketball, no hockey, right? Nothing? No football. They canceled all that. Got plenty of time to study about options. We'll finish up options, I hope. We only got done through chapter 6, slide 16. And then we'll take a look at futures, options, shorting, margining. You're going to learn all about how to gamble with investments. And then I will see you next Tuesday. Study hard. Bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College.
Well, I'm getting a lot of